Oh. I'd like to encourage you with the Easter stuff that's happening next weekend, but also just with church generally, that you wouldn't just come because like you think it's nice and like bring yourself as if that's a supreme effort to get there. But you know, the base kind of easy thing is to get there yourself. But invite somebody else, bring somebody else. Like if you go somewhere and you like it, then you recommend it to people. So like what's stopping you? What's going on? That's a kind of natural thing. So get into that. Do that. Don't just let church be a place that you attend. Because that's not what church is about. So make it a place where you bring. And you come expecting God to do something. And you come not just coming waiting for God to do something for you, but expecting God to use you to do something for someone else. So make sure that you do that and don't miss out on that. Woo! I'm on the wrong page of my notes already. That's okay. All right, so Love Is Our Weapon, the campaign, is finished. Oh, it's been 10 weeks. It's been really good. It's been long, but there's just so much good stuff in that. And so I really encourage you not to leave that behind and not to think that you're done with loving people now that that campaign is over, but to do something with it. Like, I like the idea that love is a weapon. And that, like, I think so often, like, we've got so many weapons that we use, yeah? You got so many weapons in your arsenal, like, of things that you can say to people, things that you can do to people, like negative stuff that you can use as a weapon. But to put love in there as a weapon is so much more powerful and something I think is a challenge for all of us to do. Like, stop using like words or negativity or other things like that as a weapon and start using love as a weapon and see what God will do in the situations in your life. Yeah. And the website's still up, everything's still going. So keep doing that. Like, if that's helping you to do something and make a focus of that, you can just keep going through the deeds as long as you want. Like, you can do that forever. So keep on doing that, and we will probably come and do more focus on that again at some point. And so keep it going, yeah? So tonight, what I want to talk about, and like the question I want to ask is, what house are you building? Is that okay? Good, good. All right. I've been thinking a lot lately just about the church and what the church is here for and why we have church and why we come to church and what is the value of the church, yeah? And what is it? Does anybody else think about this question or do you just kind of turn up and sit down? That's really silent. That was actually a question. And what it means to serve God and to build His church. What does that mean in my life? What does that mean in our lives, yeah? And what does it mean that it's His church? Because it is His church. It's not just my church. It's not just your church. It's not just someone's church. But this is God's church, and He builds His church. And so this thing of church is really important. And we live in a world that looks at the church and sees a lot of stuff that has gone wrong. And fair enough, because there has been a lot of stuff that's happened. But this church is still built by God. Jesus still died for the church. He still died and created the church as His answer for the world. The way of people coming to know Him is the church. And so it's central to the Christian faith. It's right there in the middle. The Bible is so clear about the value and the importance of church, yeah? And so, and all of us are here for a purpose and for God's purpose. And so I've been thinking a bit about, well, if that's true, if that's what it is, then church can't just be somewhere that I attend. Church can't just be a thing that I review and that I think about whether it was good or not. Like, I think sometimes we treat a church service like it was a movie or a restaurant and we think, well, was it good? Was I entertained? Was I filled? Was it good value for money? Like, do you know what I mean? But the church is not that. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. The church is a community of believers. You are the church, yeah? So you can't, like, come and say, well, yeah, it was okay, but it was a bit quiet, loud, annoying, long, short, whatever. Like, you can come up with whatever you want, and we could ask 10 different people and get 10 different problems with a church service. But what the church does, and like the meetings that you have, and they're things that the church do, but that is not the church, yeah? And so, like, today, like, I was really thinking about this and trying to figure out, well, what was the point? And Rach was very, very helpful because I was really struggling to figure out, like, what is the actual point of this message? And so hopefully we're getting there with this, and we'll get there today, if that's all right. So Ephesians 5, 25, 26 says this: "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." This is like, do we realize that the church was important enough for Jesus to die for? And that when people are talking in the Bible about like what the church is and the relationship between the church and Jesus, they compare it to a husband and a wife and say, well, that's how important it is. And Jesus died so that he would be radiant and without blemish and pure. And that's us that it is talking about. The church is us as people, not just a building on a cul-de-sac, yeah? And so that's like what I want to talk about, because it's not about a service or a meeting, but it's the people of God together, yeah? It's the bride of Christ, the house of God. Like, all of these expressions for the church are there for a reason. And it's not just about the things that we can do, yeah? And so, like, why do we so often approach church like that in such a selfish way? And, like, I really want to challenge you and talk tonight about just how we can build the church and stop building ourselves. In Haggai 1, I was reading in Haggai, and it says this in verse 9. Says, "You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house." I read this the other week, and I was really struck by it and challenged by that. And the question that I felt God was saying is, whose house are you building? Like, are you building your own house while my house sits in ruin? Or are you building the house of God? Yeah? Are you neglecting God's house and trying to build your own? Or are you building the house of God and trusting God to build your house? Because he says, the reason that the things that you do to build yourself up and to build your own house, the reason those things don't work is because you're not building God's house. And God says, like, why isn't everything working? Why aren't you getting much return? He says, because my house is a mess while you try and build your own thing. And so I want to ask tonight, like, what house are you building? Are you building the house of God, yeah? How committed are you? How, like, engaged are you with the purpose of God in your life instead of just the thing that you think is a good idea, yeah? And how can we build God's house? What does it take? What are God's commands? What are his promises for us as we build his house? Because, you know, you can't live a Christian life without the church. You can't come and say, well, look, I believe in God, but I'm not a fan of organized religion. I'm not a fan of the church. Like, it doesn't work, because the church is the body of Christ. And so it's not about a service or a doctrine that you don't like, or an annoying person that put you off church once, a bad experience that you had, because the church is bigger than that, and the church is God's answer. The church is the way that God decided to reach the world. And so, like, you know, either get on board or get out. Like, that's what's going to happen. And you will never, like, there is nobody, guaranteed, there is nobody in the world that is building successful ministry and seeing incredible things happen and seeing God really genuinely move in people that is disconnected from the church. There is nobody that just says, I'm going to go and I'm going to do my own thing, and maybe they'll be famous for a little while. Maybe they'll, like, have a successful whatever for a little while, but they are not building something of significance in the kingdom of God, because God believes in the church. And so we should too. too, yeah? Because like if it's good enough for God, then it's good enough for me, amen? So how do we do that? How do we build God's house? That's what I want to talk about. And the first thing I think we need to do is we need to serve with humility. You can't build God's house in a selfish or in a proud way, yeah? If it's about you, then it's not about God. That's pretty simple. It's not a complex kind of situation or concept to grasp. Basically, if what you are doing for God or for the church is actually for you, then it's not for God or the church. And that makes sense, yeah, in your head. But we often sort of do that, I think. And we need humble hearts that will actually put ourselves last and God first. And that is a really challenging and big thing to think about. And like you hear it so often, you hear like, oh, you got to be humble and you got to humble yourself and you got to put yourself last and put others first, put others before yourself. And they're nice things, but we often let that just be a nice saying. But to think of the reality and the challenge of that, like imagine actually putting yourself last, actually doing that, actually saying, okay, my needs, my desires, my heart, the things that I want, the things that I even feel God has told me and called me to, the vision I have for my life, that is actually less important than other people. That is actually last compared to the needs of someone else, compared to the call of God, compared to God's house, yeah? We are so concerned with self all the time. And it's hard. Like, I know I am. And, like, you are you. And so most of the time you're thinking about you, yeah? That's how it works. But if we would humble ourselves and serve God, then His promise is so great for our lives. And in Matthew 20, Jesus is talking with His disciples and talking with these people, and he's telling this story, and he finishes in verse 16 by saying, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. And then down a bit further on, it says, the mother of, it's James and John, two of the disciples, comes up to Jesus and asks, like, that her sons would sit at his right and his left side when he goes into heaven in the communion, and goes on, but he says this, he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. He says, like when somebody's in charge, they make that a big deal. And it's all about position, it's all about power. And he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The example that we have of Jesus, who we as Christians, Christ followers, are following, is to put ourselves last, even to death. Yeah? That even to the point of death, we would not think that I should put myself first and think of myself first, but I should put myself last and serve others and give my life. And that's the example that we get from Jesus, yeah? And if we want to see the church built, if we want to build the house of God, then we need to do that with a humble heart. There is no way you can think that you want to be first and see God's church built. You can build your own agenda, you can build your own comfort, but you will not see the kingdom of God progressed and expanded and built, yeah? So often we can put God and church as the extra thing that we do if we have time. It's like, well, I've done everything else, and so okay, if I can fit it in, then I'll go to Life Group this week. If I can fit it in, then I'll go to that church service. I'll help that person. I'll connect with that person. But like, how well is that really working for us? We live in a world that does that. Like, I'm first, and if I get time, I'll think about somebody else. And we see the result of that every day. It doesn't work. And God says the opposite. He says, look, if you want to be first, if you want to be great, then be a servant. Think of others first. Put other people's needs before your own. That's how you build a church. That's how you have a blessed life. Like, a life following Christ is the best, most blessed life you can have. And that's not because he wants to put like everything that you want there on a plate for you, but because you stop caring so much about yourself and you live a life in that ends up being bigger than you. As soon as, like, as long as you're concerned just with your own needs, you will be limited. But when you're concerned with the needs of God, then you expand, your life expands, because it is so, like, God is bigger than you, yeah? And so when you do what God has called, then it's bigger than you. That makes sense. No, it's not really complicated, yeah? And God is with us when we serve him in humility, yeah? Not our own agenda, not our own needs, but God's plan. And that's what building the house of God is about, yeah? And that's how we build the house of God. If you come to church and you think, oh, well, like, I can see the vision that like, Mum and Dad, Ron and Heather have, and I can hear the thing that God has put on their heart for our church, but I really think that my idea is better, and I'm going to go do that. Like, you're not building the church. You're not building the house of God. That doesn't actually build the kingdom, because people are put in place for a reason, and if we serve with humility, then we are blessed, yeah? You don't get anywhere by pushing yourself forward in the kingdom of God. Maybe that's what the world teaches us. Maybe that's what people say, like, in your work, like, you've got to put yourself up there. You've got to step on other people if you want to get up. But if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then put yourself last. Like, forget about your own ministry idea for a minute and vacuum the floor. Like, that's what it takes to build the church. That's what it takes to build the kingdom of God, yeah? So serve with humility. Second thing I think we need to do, I did have notes, and I actually put them, Jason, in the Dropbox on the production computer, but then forgot to tell you that I did that. So you can find them and put them up if you want. Anyway, so the second thing we need to do is serve with love. Because building the house of God can't be an obligation. Building the house of God can't be just a thing that you think you need to do, yeah? It needs to be out of love, and it needs to be a response to God's love. It needs to be, I'm serving God not because I think that I can buy my ticket into heaven if I do enough good things. But it needs to be, I'm doing what I do in church. I'm serving God because he's already bought me the ticket. And so I'm going to serve him because I love him, not because I'm going to win his favor, yeah? Not because I'm going to, like, I feel like, well, since I'm here, I should do something, you know, I should do my bit because, you know, everyone else does. That's not the heart that will build the kingdom of God. To serve God, to really serve him, needs to be a response to how much God loves me. And so out of that, I love him, and it's this outpouring of my love for God. And if my service is ever not about that, then I'm missing the point. And this is something that I challenge myself with all the time. Like, and honestly, I've been thinking about a lot. Because you think, like, am I doing ministry? Am I doing the things that I'm doing? Like, do I go to life group? Do I serve in youth ministry? Do I do those things because I think I should? Or do I do them because I love God? And happily, that's my answer, and I know that. And I know that I'm doing things because I love God and because he loves me. And that can only ever be our motivation. I mean, if you're doing something and you're just doing it because you think you have to, then stop. You don't have to do it. Maybe, like, that seems strange to you. Maybe, like, Adrian's thinking, don't say that to the kids' team because I need them. I'm sure he's not, actually. I'm sure if you said that to him, he would be very happy to, one, talk to you about it and get you sorted out. But honestly, this might sound silly, but we don't need you. Like, we don't need you to do it because you feel obliged to do it. We need you if your heart is for God and your heart is for his kingdom and you're there saying, look, I love God and I want to serve his purpose and I feel called to this ministry. That's when you come and you serve and you say, I want to serve the vision of the house because God has changed my life and I love him. And so I don't care about my own agenda. I just am amazed that God loves me. That's what it's about, yeah? Galatians 5 says this. It says in verse 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping that one command." And it's just like saying, don't, like, we have been given this incredible freedom of grace from God. And so we don't need to do the law to find, like, forgiveness and wholeness and a relationship with God. That's already there. Yeah, all we need to do is accept that Jesus did that for us. It says, so, but don't just take that and think, well, I can do whatever you want. It says, no, but use that freedom to serve each other in love. And serve each other in humility, yeah? Use that freedom that you've got to build the kingdom of God. Because you can't do it when you're bound up by the law. You can't build the church when you are bound up by legalism, yeah? So you need to use the freedom that you've been given to do that. And in Romans 7, it says a really similar thing. And it says in verse 6, it says, "But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." It says, we have been released from this thing that bound us. And so I don't have to serve because I think that I should, or because somebody told me to, or because everybody else is doing it. But I can serve from the new Spirit, yeah? From the new way of the Spirit. That's what it says. It says, I can serve out of the Spirit of God in my life, out of the love of God that is all over me and coming out of me. And when I serve out of that, then I release the church, I release the kingdom of God. But if I'm trying to serve out of the old code, out of the old way, out of the law, out of this feeling of obligation, then I'm not doing anything. And I'm not getting anywhere. And nobody's getting there. Say you have a girlfriend or a wife, or if you're a girl, you know, the other way around. And you do stuff for them because you think you have to. Like, you think, well, I've got a girlfriend, so, you know, I better do nice things. I better tell them that I love them. I better, like, take them out sometimes, and I better get them flowers, or, you know, that sort of stuff. How long do you think it's going to last if you're doing that because you feel obliged to? Not long. How long is that relationship going to work if you're doing it because you feel obliged? You know, God isn't interested in you doing stuff because you think you have to. He's interested in love. It's a relationship. And building the church is not about the things that you need to do, but it's about a relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with each other, building the kingdom of God because we love God. We love His church. We love what He has built. And we want to do what He commands us to do, not because we think it's the thing I'm supposed to do, but because we love Him. Amen? If you're doing it for yourself, or if you're doing it out of obligation, honestly, you are building your own house, not the house of God. Because you think that somehow by doing those things, your house will be built up. But Jesus says, I've already prepared a place for you. I've already got a mansion for you in heaven. I've already built something. You don't need to build your own house, yeah? You need to build God's house. And so you need to serve with love. And the third thing is you need to trust God for your life. And that's what I was just saying then. You need to be, like, we need to be less concerned with building our own lives and trust God to build them. You know, in Luke 17, it says, those that try and gain their life, I'll read in verse 33. It says, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. This seems really confusing because, like, if I lose my life, then I've lost my life. So how is that me keeping my life? But what God says is that when we give up our lives to Him, then we get our life. Because it ceases to be about me and my needs. It ceases to be about me trying to build my life. Because if I try and build my life, I will fail. The only person that can build my life successfully is God. And He's already done it. And all I have to do is serve Him and trust Him to build my house as I build His house. Because, you know, like, I think this is a really good deal. You know, like it could be the other way around where we each try and build our own house. God builds his own house. And let's see who has the better house. But God's like says, look, I'm going to let you guys that always stuff up and that sin and that are selfish and that fail and that fight and quabble. I'm going to let you build my house while I go and build yours. Toddy's sick, he's not here tonight, but say Toddy is actually a builder. Like he's training, he's an apprentice, but he's a builder. And it's like him saying to me, okay, Andrew, I'm going to build your house and you build my house. And he's in a bad way. Like his house is going to be pretty shonky. Like I might be able to make it look nice or something, but come on, it's going to be but my house will be strong. My house will stand up. My house, you know, will have resale value because it's not going to fall down after 6 months. So why do we in our lives, why do we sit down and we try so hard to build my own thing? And God says, you can't build your own thing. If you do that, you'll lose it. He says, let me build your house. I'm a way better builder than you. In Matthew 6:33, this is one of my favorite verses and a verse that honestly I try and live my life by. It says, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And it says, all of these things will be added to you. It says, don't worry about all the stuff of your life. It says, trust me, build my kingdom and I will take care of it. I think that's a word for somebody tonight. God will build your house as you build his. Don't be so concerned with your own house that you neglect the house of God. Don't try so hard to build your own thing that you let the house of God slide and then realize later on that your house is a mess as well. Because all of us trying to build our own stuff never works, yeah? But if we trust God, we know that he's trustworthy. If we trust God, we know that he will build our house. And so I really want to encourage you never to come with an attitude that you're just going to get something from church or that relationship with God can be separate to the church. Because the church was created by God and for him and for us. And so, like, let's come and serve God's house and let him build our house, amen. And trust God to move in our lives. And I honestly believe that as we do that, that God will bless our lives incredibly. And I think about my life and think, well, if it wasn't for serving God, then I would not have any of the stuff that I have. But as you give your life to God, he blesses it. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. And God, that you give us this incredible deal that if we build your house, you will build our house. And God, I want to accept that. And I want to be engaged with that purpose. And I know there are a lot of people here tonight that want the same. And so, God, I pray that you would just confirm this word in our hearts, that you would just speak to us, God, and you would show us what we can do to serve your kingdom and the things that we need to give over to you, God. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know God. You haven't ever really had a relationship with him, or you have and you just feel really far away from God. I want to give you an opportunity to reconnect with God tonight, because like it's Easter next week, and Easter is this time where we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that he did make himself last and die as a ransom for you and I. And so if you want to accept Jesus into your life tonight and you want to start a relationship with him and you want to give your life to him, then I want to pray with you tonight. So while everybody's heads are bowed, everyone's eyes are closed, we're just going to pray together. And I'm just going to pray for you. God, thank you so much for everything you've done for each and every one of us. God, I pray that you would just forgive us for our sins, and we thank you that you already have. And God, that you would come into our lives and help us to live lives that honor you. Have we got the prayer for the screen, guys? Is that there? It's there. Let's just pray this together, yeah? Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen. you're serious about that and prayed about that, we have a few of these books left, which is like a gift for you, and it just will help you live that out. It talks about what the Bible says about actually following Christ and being a Christian, what that means. So make sure that you talk to the person who brought you, and get one of these and get connected in. That'd be good.